Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hello and welcome to the Delicious Podcast with me, Julie Smith. This week, I'm in Burrow Hill Farm in Somerset, home to the UK's first cider brandy and the wonderfully bohemian Temperley family. Now, you may know Alice Temperley as the fashion designer du jour, loved by Halle Berry, Scarlett Johansson, Sarah Jessica Parker and the Duchess of Cambridge, and the cider brandy as the very British finale to Meghan and Harry's wedding dinner. I joined the mother of the family, Diana Temperley, whose entrepreneurial brood and farmhouse business was the inspiration for award-winning author Veronica Henry's latest novel, A Home From Home. I asked Veronica if she'd deliberately chosen such a quintessentially English product as the juice for her latest plot.
Everybody loves cider. Everybody sat in a pub garden on a bank holiday and had too much. And it's just something that's very nostalgic and very reminiscent of England, and everybody's red cider with Rosie. And of course, I love the orchards with all the trees. It's very visual. I write quite visually. And so, yes, finding somewhere like this to sort of do my research was a gift, really.
So you were looking for a home, weren't you? What is it about this particular place, over and above the apples and the cider, that made you think this is where I could focus on a family drama?
Well, it's sort of I used to write for television, so I'm always looking for a sort of a holding place, if you like. And what I loved about this particularly was the multi-generational aspect of it, the kind of the Ewing Oil factor almost. So it's not a story it's fictional, it's very much made up, but just the beating heart of the family at the centre of the business really fascinated me, and how they all love it and how everything goes back to the land.
Just give us a little overview of the story.
The story, it's set in a place called Dragonfly Farm, so this is my sort of the family home, and it gets left to two cousins, but also a third person, who they're rather startled that a third of this farm ends up being left to somebody who's belongs to a family that they're sort of enemies, really. So it's quite feudal and kind of long-running rivalries, basically. So it's like, oh, the cuckoo in the nest is coming back. Why?
So when you were doing your research, you came and sat around the table with Di and Julian and their daughter Matilda, who's just about to take over the company. Is that right, Di?
Yes.
Yes. And you saw an end product that perhaps your story might be able to lead to.
Absolutely.
But am I right in saying that you also spotted the family dynamics that might could kind of inspire?
Well, that is always inspiring, isn't it? How say, fathers and daughters and mothers and sons and, you know, all kind of pull together to create something that will last for generations.
Yeah.
I mean, it's heritage, isn't it?
Yeah.
And we do that very well in England, I think.
I mean, it's fascinating. So when you come to a place like this, you can see your characters, you know, the girls who are about to inherit this farmhouse and wondering what to do with it and whether they're going to change their lives, what business could they do? When you see the Temperleys sitting around the table, can you put your characters in that place? How does that work creatively?
Well, you can't take people from real life and put them into fit. So mine have to go through a process, and I have to think about where have they come from and what are they doing, because they need to undergo a change and they need to make a big decision. Do they want to take that on or not? So it's about making them fall in love with that place and then thinking, yes, this is what we want to do. And then sort of, you have to have some sort of a fight in a book. You have to have something to strive for. So it can't just land on your lap. So they have to sit and think, well, if we did that, but we'd have to give that up, but actually the rewards would be much bigger. So, yeah. So, but you also have to make it real, you know, because there will be people reading it that say, oh, you know, that wouldn't happen, or that couldn't happen, or that's not very businesslike. So you have to do a bit of research. There's a lot of fantasy added in, but there needs to be a genuine sort of something real and believable at the root of it. So
people have to go away, children have to go away.
Yes.
And then they suddenly realise what they've got at home, because this is all they've known, you know, and they all wanted to go to London and make their fortune.
Well, of course, Alice did, but yes. Matilda came back.
Matilda came back. Well, she was doing photography. She worked in science to start with in Uganda, going around villages, and it was, you know, quite dangerous, so I wasn't sad when she gave it up. But she came back and took pictures of the floods. We had really bad floods in 2014 and produced a book. And it sort of got her hooked, really, on Somerset again. Oh. She realised how much she loved it, and meeting all the local people. And she's made lots of friends. Everybody knows her now. You know? And she really enjoys her life here.
And I think it's that sort of sense of belonging. I think everybody wants to have something that they belong to and belongs to them.
How does that feel, Di, that there's a book just about to come out?
Well, it's not literally them. It's very different.
Of course.
I have actually read it, and it was a fascinating read. Couldn't wait to go to bed and sort of see what happened next. Very romantic.
Yes.
But it felt very strange reading a book all about this farm, and I could sort of really feel the characters and, you know, the surroundings,
yes.
Which sort of it's very similar to here. And all the family dynamics.
Mm. And of course, it is a family business. Mm. How long have you been here?
My husband's been here nearly 50 years. I've been here for 45 years. It's grown from a small red brick house and an old cider house, which is... There was probably a nice house here once, but anyway. And just one or two orchards, and we've sort of slowly planted or he has built up, you know, bought more land and replaced trees and made more products over the last 45 years.
Because yeah.
It was just cider to start with, and then we started making brandy because nobody was doing it in this country.
And that's the point. I mean, tell us about the cider brandy. It's quite extraordinary story.
Yes. Well, we've got an old friend who's helped us a lot get the stills to make the brandy with the cider from France, because obviously we couldn't get them here. And he came along one day, and he's living in Normandy still, and he said, why doesn't anybody make brandy, you know? And we thought, oh, that's a good idea. So he found the first still, and we bought it over as a sort of museum still, and we were based at Brimpton Devesey, which is a nice big house that not far from Yeovil. And we couldn't really expand there. That was 1987. And we applied to have move our distillery. We managed to move to the Milk Marketing Board, which is just a couple of miles down the road, but we weren't allowed to make it here because obviously the customs and excise were a bit nervous about us starting this business they knew nothing about. So I think my husband wrote quite a few of the rules with them and educated them, and they used to come quite often and check us up, but now it's all right, and we were allowed to move here a few years ago, and we've now got a distillery at the farm.
And, of course, the cider brandy was on the menu for the royal wedding.
Yes.
How did that feel?
Amazing, because we knew nothing about it until
really?
We read. Somebody told us, and it was in the Times. The menu was in the Times, and I think they sourced it from, obviously, someone we sell to.
Yeah, but wisely it was, chosen, I'd say.
Yeah, it's our 10-year-old brandy, so that was, I think, the only English drink they had on the menu.
Really? Yeah. And Veronica, in the book, your characters are very entrepreneurial, like the Templey family are.
Yeah, they sort of have to be.
They have to be, absolutely. They have to turn a farm around, mm-hmm. You know, as you have done so brilliantly. They've kind of done what you wanted to do, really, haven't they? Just explain what they've done to replace Prosecco.
You know, we have a sort of obsession with it in this country, and it seems to be that, you know, any excuse to open a bottle of Prosecco, and I'm like, no. Stop drinking the cheap stuff and drink sparkling cider. Much more delicious, English, it tastes of summer, and it just makes you feel happy. It's, you know, and that, so that's the underlying message of the book. Drink more sparkling cider.
Yeah. And do you actually produce this? Tell us about it.
Yes, we do. We sell quite a lot to people, you know, for their weddings, because it's like a champagne. And it's bottle fermented. Made in the champagne method, so it has a a wire on the cork, and it's lying on its side for quite a while, and then it's disgorged, and the cork is put in. First of all, it starts with a metal cap, so it's made in exactly the same way as champagne, and it tastes just as good.
I'm all for it. Yeah. Drink more of that, and it's quite ceremonial. You know, it's still got the same sort of ceremonial thing. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it isn't as expensive as champagne.
I mean, that is the point. With a lot of sort of English sparkling wines, they are much, much more expensive. The good ones are much more expensive than champagnes, for example. Yes. What would yours sell for?
I think it sells for about £12.
Okay. Mm.
You could drink a lot of that. You could have a very happy wedding.
Well, your characters certainly would, wouldn't they?
Yes, exactly.
People have always been fascinated by the farmhouse table, the dramas that happen there, particularly in a farmhouse like this, in a business like this that's family run. What's the recipe that really sums this place up for you?
I think the recipe that I always think of, it's got all the ingredients in that are local. Chicken or pheasant or partridge, cider brandy and cream, and we've got all the ingredients in Somerset and probably Dorset. We don't eat very much meat. Well, I don't particularly eat much meat now, but chicken I do eat, and fish. And this is a really nice, it's so tasty. If you put brandy, cider and cream in poultry or even pork, it just lifts it to another level. You know, it makes it a really superb meal.
Obviously, we can cook with cider. Can we cook with any cider?
Probably not. It's best to cook with a dry cider, not a sweet cider. Mm. But if you get a good cider, it does add that lovely flavour of apples. If there are enough apples in the cider to start with, you just have to source a good cider. And farmhouse cider is obviously the best because it's, well, we are 100% apple. We don't put anything in our cider.
And finally, we've just unearthed, literally, a rather fabulous story, which will one day be on the labels of your brandy. Just tell us a little bit about this extraordinary fossil that is now hanging in one of your barns.
OK, well, the fossil has been in my father-in-law's garden and came from a quarry at Pibsbury, which is near Langport. And I think Julie remembers wheeling it up the garden in a wheelbarrow, so it was put there probably when he was young. And it's been flooded a few times, and it had a cover on it, and then it got covered over with weeds, and we knew it was there, and we decided to get hold of it and dig it out and look after it before it deteriorated anymore. And it's the Ichthyosaurus that used to be swimming around on the Somerset levels here.
Wow.
And when there's a museum at the Clark's Factory in Street where they have a collection of these Ichthyosaurus all dug up in quarries around the area, when they were built, taking out the stone to build, Clark's and Clark's Village and all the buildings there. Julian's great-great-grandfather had a quarry at Pibsbury, and obviously that was when it was dug up, Blue Lias Quarry, and taken to Thorney, where it sat for many years.
And it is 90 million years old.
Yes, it is, at least.
It is absolutely incredible. I mean, Veronica, in terms of storytelling, it doesn't get any better than that, does it?
No, that is extraordinary. And it just feels very much in keeping with the sort of wonderful generations of people that have kept all this together.
Thanks for listening to The Delicious Podcast. I'll be back next week with how to cook like Pakistani cook Ada Khan. You can follow my adventures with hashtag The Delicious Podcast on Instagram, and check out the entire back catalogue on deliciousmagazine.co.uk/stories/podcasts. I'll see you next week.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.